I'm Bill Littlefield. If you were of a mind to stay up late on Wednesday night and into Thursday morning Eastern Time, you might have heard this.
And the Cubs have finally won it all! 8-7-10!
Fun fact, the last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, the Dow Jones closed at 65. And that's where we're going to begin this week's three stories you should know, with the Cubs, not with the Dow Jones numbers. Joining me this time around are Will Leach of Sports on Earth via Skype and Rachel Bachman of the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back to both of you.
Great to be here.
Of course. Thank you.
Will, you were at the World Series, so of course you'll go first.
Yes, well, I was at the World Series, but, you know, somewhat under protest, being a Cardinals fan. I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. I grew up in Central Illinois, which is right where that border of Cardinals fans and Cubs fans are. My poor father has been afraid to wear his Cardinals hat walking outside. It's a tough time for Cardinals fans. And so I'm doing this delineation. I am happy for longtime Cubs fans, for fans who have waited a long time. I found it just as moving as everybody else did when people were writing the names of people that did not get to see the Cubs win the World Series on the wall on Waveland Avenue. I think it was very touching, and I'm happy for those people. Now, for the people that think David Ross has played for the Cubs for 20 years, or the people that are in your Facebook feed, they're suddenly like, I spent a month in Chicago one time, and I love the Cubbies. I'm so happy for you guys. The Cubs are your pet rock. Okay? And I'm not happy for you at all. I'm happy for longtime Cubs fans, and there are many of them, and I'm glad they've had that experience. But let's just not forget, in 2004, everyone was happy for the Red Sox, and it did not take long for that to turn. That turn is coming.
Rachel, I'm not sure there's anything left to say, but please chime in if you're so inclined.
Well, I will say that one thing that struck me, as it did probably a lot of people watching the series, is just how much has changed since not only the last time the Cubs won the series, but in the last few decades of baseball. I was actually at Game 7 in 1991 when my hometown Minnesota Twins beat the Braves, mm-hmm. and I don't even have a photo of myself there because, of course, we didn't run around with cameras in our pockets then. Fast forward to Game 7 this year, I'm watching on Twitter. There's this, you know, huge conversation going on nationally and internationally. So it's just astounding how much has changed, not only, you know, since the early 1900s, but also just in the past few decades.
Will, I can't help myself. I got to pick up on something you said. Am I supposed to feel sorry for Cardinals fans?
Oh, no.
They've won World Series more times than I can. Only the Yankees have won more World Series, I think, than the Cardinals. My goodness. Let's give somebody else a chance from time to time. And the Cubs were, I think it's fair to say, they were due.
No Cardinals fan would ever ask for sympathy in this regard. And certainly the Cubs were due. One would say overdue. One would say still 8 championships behind the Cardinals. That would be another thing someone would say. I actually feel quite bad for White Sox fans. Remember, they broke a streak 10 years ago that was almost as long as this one. And everyone yawned. Everyone was like, oh, right. That's the other team in Chicago. If there's any teams fans to feel sympathy for, I think it's probably the White Sox.
Rachel, you're up next, and I understand that you've got college football on your mind.
Indeed. Well, the Big Ten Conference this week announced it's ending a longstanding taboo and entering into new territory, and that is playing conference football games on Friday nights. And although some other conferences have sort of tiptoed into this territory, it's kind of a big deal the Big Ten has taken this step. High school football fans are very upset about this. They say it's trampling on their traditional Friday night lights territories. I also wonder whether there's a risk of college football straying into NFL territory and so saturating every day and every night with its content that people just kind of get tired of it.
I certainly think that's a strong point. The whole idea of the NFL is supposed to be that there's an event. And of course, college football is based in that as well. I find it telling, as a graduate of a Big Ten school, the University of Illinois, that the big schools of the Big Ten, like Michigan and Ohio State, they just said, nope, we're not doing this. And the Big Ten said, okay, don't worry, we're not going to make you do it. It's more for Illinois and for Purdue and for Northwestern and like the smaller schools that could use that kind of exposure. The Big Ten is very progressive in one way. It makes money. It always sees what's coming next. The rest of college football has been following the Big Ten really for about 20 years now in a revenue aspect. So it's not really a surprise that they would take the small, lousy football teams like mine and say, hey, go ahead and play on Friday night.
Rachel, I'm going to use my time just to ask you a question. Is Will right? Is this simply a business story or is it in any way a sports story?
It's absolutely a business story. This is all about TV dollars, which are really tipping the scales of college coffers now. It used to be that tickets and donations were the overwhelming source of income, and that's absolutely not true anymore. It's these multi-year TV contracts that are driving the bus.
All right. My topic has to do with the other professional football league. That would be the NFL. On Monday, the Washington Post published a story indicating that violent and dangerous behavior at and around NFL games has been increasing for about 5 years now. Incidents are worse and more numerous when division rivals play each other, and there's more violence when the home team loses. And then, of course, when people are allowed to show up earlier and earlier to tailgate, there's more violence because they're drunk by the time the game starts. So here's my question for the two of you. Is this problem a uniquely NFL problem? And if so, is there something NFL teams can or should be doing about it? Rachel, why don't you go first?
Let me start by saying that I'm not a teetotaler. I'm not anti-alcohol. However, I do think this problem is largely driven by alcohol. If you look at the research, binge drinking is up across the board, not just at colleges, across the country in the last 10 years or so. And I do think that the fact that NFL prices are so high makes people sort of go crazy. They want to sort of max out this experience, and they're just sort of going hog wild. Some of this behavior just simply would not happen if people weren't drunk.
That's an aspect of it, definitely. But, you know, it's also worth knowing that there doesn't seem to be a major increase in violence at college football games. And I live in Athens, Georgia. I think people are tailgating now for a game that starts in 8 days. I take my sons to college football games all the time, and it's never an issue. And I am terrified to take them to an NFL game because there is just a different environment there. And on Sunday, I mean, have you seen the parking lot at a Bills game? They're doing wrestling moves through tables. There is a sense, certainly fueled by alcohol, that this is a time to blow off the steam from a frustrating week. It is a release of tension rather than a collective embrace. And I think it's perhaps not surprising that we see that.
My guests for this week's three stories you should know have been Sports on Earth's Will Leach and The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.